In East Wenatchee, Washington, there was a police report about a family that came home into their house, walked into their kitchen, and they found that their house was being burglarized. There was a robber standing in their kitchen. The robber was standing by the refrigerator, and standing next to the robber was the family dog named Buddy, a black lab mix, and the robber was feeding him pudding. The owners of the home yelled and said, "What are you doing? Get out of here. Get out of our house." And the police report says the guy kind of casually walked out the front door, but he spun around and went. And Buddy, the faithful family dog, followed him out the door and has not been seen since. The family said, "What hurts worse than the burglary is the betrayal of the dog." Some of you are saying, "I could see my dog doing that." I mean, are you kidding me? Worm pills and flea spray and food and love and petting, and you bail man's best friend, really, for some pudding? I mean, it kind of shoots down the whole loyalty of a dog aura. You would walk away from the masters that love you and provided everything for you for pudding? Let's raise the stakes a little bit. No believer wants to be a Buddy the dog believer. None of us want to walk away and betray our master who loves us so very, very much. If anyone deserves loyalty, if anyone deserves devotion, it is Jesus Christ. How do we show the world that we are devoted, that we're not going to walk away, that we are committed, that we are loyal to our Lord? Well, one of the ways, God's invention, is this beautiful thing which you saw just a few moments ago, which is called baptism. Baptism is a demonstration of devotion. Obeying the Lord's command to be baptized shows our love and our loyalty to Him. I love what Max Lucado said about baptism. He says, baptism is the difference between kicking the tires and buying the car. Baptism is commanded in the Bible. Baptism was modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible assumes that every believer in Jesus will be baptized. But sadly, we're living in a day and age when baptism is not always taken that seriously, but not here at First Baptist Arnold. We love to share the blessing and the privilege of that demonstration of devotion, of identifying with Jesus Christ through believers' baptism. Today in our 8 o'clock hour has already been a great day, and it is going to be a great day today. I'm so excited how some in this room, you're going to be blessed by the commitment you're going to make concerning baptism. Today, we continue in our 5-part series called Go, Your Part, My Part in God's Plan. Part 2 of this series called Go is baptism. Go to the waters as a witness. It's about baptism. We know that go is one of our vision words as a church, how we fulfill our mission. We gather, we grow, and we go. Everything we do is in those three things for the purpose of that fourth word of glorifying the Lord. We know that as believers in this series, we each have a part to play in God's plan for this world. Our faith is to be an active faith that moves us forward as we follow Jesus and we go for the glory of God. We're looking at 5 different important areas that we're to go as disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these first 2 messages, we've been talking about the 2 ordinances of the church. You might remember the 2 ordinances of the church are the Lord's Supper and baptism. What does that word ordinance mean? It's such a funny sounding word. An ordinance is a prescribed practice that Jesus gave His church where tangible elements are used as visible signs to glorify Jesus and to celebrate our salvation. First is the Lord's Supper, which we did last week. The tangible elements that are a visual sign of who we are in Christ is the cup and the bread. Today is that second ordinance of the church, which is baptism, and that tangible element that is a visible sign that we are to glorify the Lord with and celebrate our salvation with is water. Both of these 2 ordinances are ordered to us by the Lord. The church is to practice these 2. Jesus is worshiped through these 2. Both of these 2 have great inner meaning to the believer and a great outward expression of witness to the world. Today is Baptism Sunday. It's one of the great days in the life of our church. Here's what would happen in the past 10 years on Baptism Sunday. I would preach a baptism sermon. We would call people to respond, and then we have a baptism service in the same service. We have a baptism sermon and a baptism service all at once. We say that today is an unashamed, take a stand, no excuse anymore for the rest of my life when it comes to baptism. I am going to do this. And then I would call people in a spontaneous way right then and there to be baptized, to immediately be baptized. These are people who were not planning. They didn't come to church planning to be baptized. They came to church not planning to be baptized. They can say, man, we're not prepared for this. We would say for the last 10 years in Baptism Sunday, we are prepared for you. We've got towels, we've got changes of clothes, we've got dressing rooms, we've taken care of everything you need. You came dry, you'll leave dry. Calling people to immediately, no more excuses, just do it, follow the Lord in baptism. Well, guess what? In the last 10 years, 289 people have been baptized on Baptism Sunday. Just do it. We've just seen two more today. That's 291. Well, this is 2020 and everything's a little different. This morning's service is going to be different, but it's still going to be wonderful as we just celebrated in the 8 o'clock service. Number one, I'm still going to preach a baptism sermon, which I'm going to do right now. Number two, I'm not changing the call at all. I'm asking every person, this is a unashamed, take a stand, no more excuses. I am going to make a commitment to do this. The difference is we are not having the spontaneous do it right now baptism service. We really believe because of safety and things going on in the pandemic, we want to do it a little bit different this year. But we're still going to give you an opportunity to just do it today, to do it now today. So you see baptismal cards all scattered all over this room. A little bit later at the end of this service, we're going to need those. We're going to have a service tonight at 6 o'clock. From the 8 o'clock service, we had several decisions of people saying, I'm going to be baptized. Two of those are coming back tonight at 6 o'clock. So if you make a commitment today to be baptized, maybe it will work for you to come back at 6 o'clock. Let me tell you about this service. There's going to be one song, one prayer. We're going to celebrate baptism and go home. I don't think the service will even take 20 minutes. But we're going to, that way we can have a little more control in what we're doing for everyone's safety. If that won't work, if tonight at 6 o'clock won't work, and as we had some other people doing the 8 o'clock service, they're signing up, committing to a date on down the road. Again, we are excited to see if your name is going to be added to now the 291 people who have said no more excuses. I'm going to take a stand. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm tired of this hanging over my head. I now understand what it means. I'm going to do it and make a commitment to either come back tonight or set a time in the future. On Baptism Sunday, there's always four groups of people here, and you and I are in one of these four groups. You're in group number one. I know I have been biblically baptized. I get it. I understand it. I know what it means. Today is an important discipleship message for you and for me, because shame on a church that doesn't at least once a Sunday commit a Sunday in a discipleship aspect to study one of the two ordinances of the church. Number two is, I know I need to be baptized, but I keep putting it off. There is a large number of people in the kingdom who say, I know I need to do it, but man, I just keep putting it off. Number three are those who say, I was baptized, but I don't remember it. And honestly, I don't know a lot about it. I don't even know how it even lines up. And then there's number four. That's the group I was in as a college freshman. I do not understand anything about baptism. I remember Hamlin Memorial Baptist Church. I'd only been in the church four or five times by the time I was a freshman in college. I thought, what in the world is a full-grown man dunking another full-grown man under the water and everybody's clapping? I had no idea what it was even about. Today is a day to understand baptism, and today is today, like in the 8 o'clock service, you can make a commitment to settle this issue for the rest of your life. Now, what we're going to look at on Baptism Sunday is the baptism of Jesus. If anyone knows the right way to be baptized, it's got to be Jesus. And I'm sure we all want our baptism to match his baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, where go to the baptistry, go to the water as a witness, part two of this series from Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Open your Bibles, open your Bible app to this passage of scripture. Online community, rather you are joining us by radio, whether you're joining us on our YouTube channel, joining us by Facebook Live, or the majority of you join us live stream on our website, we welcome you. Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. If you're physically able, I'd ask you to stand in the reading of God's word. If you need to stay seated, you stay seated. We know you love the Lord. It's all good. Matthew 3, verses 13 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me.'" Verse 15, Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And he allowed him. Verse 16. And when he had been baptized, Jesus was baptized. Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You may be seated, please. Lord Jesus, as we study your word, we pray and we celebrate in advance the people who today are going to understand baptism and say, "Jesus, I'm going to do it. In my devotion to you, I'm going to do it." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know how important baptism is? Do you go from Nazareth of Galilee to the Jordan River? Jesus went 70 miles, 85 miles by road. Hop on I-44 up here and walk all the way down to Rolla. Jesus traveled that far to be baptized. You've got to walk a few steps, and we've got cushy towels and heated water for you. It's going to be awesome. Jesus was sinless. He didn't have to be baptized, but he was baptized to set an important example for us. He said in verse 15 that it would fulfill all righteousness. That word righteousness there means to submit to the will of God. And it's the same today. God's will is for every single saved person, every believer in Jesus Christ, to be baptized. Jesus made it clear in John 14, 15 when he said, "If you love me, you will obey me." If we say we love him, we won't walk away and betray him like Buddy. We will be loyal. We will be obedient. We will follow him in the waters of baptism. If you are saved by Jesus and in your love for him, serious about following him, you will go and follow in his footsteps into the waters of baptism. Again, some of you, you know you need to do it. You just haven't. Some of you, you did it in the past and you really don't remember or understand it. And some of you, you're just figuring all this out for the first time, which is great. If you look at verse 17, God was well pleased. He was well pleased with Jesus and his baptism, and God will be well pleased with you when you make that commitment today, saying, "No more excuses, unashamed, I'm going to take a stand, I'm going to do it." So important. Think about this. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus begins his earthly ministry by baptism. By his words, he said he was God. By his miracle, he proved he was God. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. He arose. Jesus ended his earthly ministry. In Matthew 28, when he gave the command to go, that word go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. He ended his earthly ministry with baptism. How important is baptism? You go to Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends to heaven. Acts chapter 2, after his ascension, is the birth of the church. And what happened? Baptism. Jesus' earthly ministry began with baptism. His earthly ministry ended with baptism. And the church was born after his ascension with baptism in Acts chapter 2. Folks, baptism is not something we should consider and roll around. It is a command that we are to obey. We're not to defy it. We're not to trivialize it. We are to do it. Baptism is that demonstration of devotion to Jesus. Think if you're a believer in Jesus and you go all your life never being baptized, you will spend all eternity in the presence of God knowing you did not obey him in the very first thing he asked you to do and that his son modeled for you and I to do. But we say, "No way, not today. We're going to go to the water. This is an unashamed, just do it, take a stand. I'm going to make a commitment today," like several people did in the 8 o'clock service, some being baptized tonight, some later, saying, "I am going to make a commitment this very day. I'm going to obey the Lord in the area of baptism." Let me share some lessons about a Jesus baptism so we all understand, like we said last week in the Lord's Supper, why we are doing what we are doing. Number one, the people of baptism is believers. Baptism is all about Jesus, And it's for saved people in Jesus. It's about having a relationship with the Lord. Without a saving personal relationship with Jesus, baptism is just a superficial religious ritual where all that really happens is you get wet. That's all it is. I kind of want to be clear there, okay? If he's not your savior, you just got wet. In the Bible, every person who was baptized was a believer first. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the 3,000 gladly received his word. Then they were baptized. Acts 8, 35 through 38, the man from Ethiopia believed in all of his heart. He believed first. Then he was baptized. Acts 9, 18, Saul of Tarsus had been saved for 3 days. Then he was baptized. Acts 10, 43, verse 48, those who believed the message preached by the apostle Peter concerning forgiveness of sins, who received the Holy Spirit, were baptized. They believed the message. Then they were baptized. Acts 16, 14 through 15, Lydia, her heart, the Lord opened her heart, the Bible says. Then she was baptized. Acts 16, 30 through 34, the jailer who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all his house was baptized that same hour of the night. Immediate baptism is in the Bible. And it says here, the jailer believed and he was baptized. Acts 18, 8, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and many of the people in Corinth. What happened? Listen, they heard, they believed, and they were baptized. We believe first, and then we are baptized. There is not one single follower in the New Testament who came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior who went unbaptized. Every believer in the Bible in Jesus was baptized except for one. And he had a pretty good excuse because he was nailed to a cross. It's the thief that Jesus saved when he was on the cross by him. It's the only unbaptized believer in the entire Bible. Baptism does not save us. Baptism does not keep us saved. We do baptism because we are saved. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins. My first church I pastored was in an open country church, and there was a guy there who had no church background. He got gloriously saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Big old grin from ear to ear, says, "Pastor, I can't wait to be baptized, but I got a request. I don't want to be baptized in the baptistry. I want to go down to the Little Sack River." And I said, "Why?" He says, "Because the current's strong there and it will really wash my sins away." He just didn't know any better. And I had a chance to explain to him that no, baptism doesn't wash away your sins, folks. The blood of Jesus washes away your sins. Baptism screams to the world that my sins have been washed away. Is Jesus your Savior? Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his love for us. It always starts with God, his love, his mercy, his grace to us. And while we were sinners, every single one of us, if we think about every thought, every word, every motive, every action, we are flawed people. God is flawless. He has no error, no equal. We're separated from him because of our sins. And all the religion and all the head belief in the world can't bridge that gap. But what does it say? God demonstrated his love for us. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came and died on the cross. He took all of our sins upon himself, paid the price we couldn't pay. He was buried. He arose from the grave on the third day. And now the Bible says that same book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved, rescued, delivered. You can do that today. You can come to him. Let me say a word about baby baptism. I say it every baptism Sunday because we live in a part of the world where a lot of people have been baptized as a baby. Please hear me before you get mad and run out the door about baby baptism. The only person ever baptized in the Bible are believers. There's not one single baby baptism in the entire Bible. Not one. Because a baby can't come to faith in Christ. A baby can't say, "Goo goo gag gag, Jesus, be my Savior." They can't do that. Hear me. If you were baptized as a baby, okay, that was a loving thing that people who love you did for you. Okay? They loved you. And they did that for you. But here's the truth. They made that decision for you. You did not make that decision for yourself. You were a baby. Isn't it time that you make your own decision about your faith? To come to the Lord Jesus? So the people of baptism are believers. Number two, the method of baptism is immersion. A word means what a word means. And we saw three times that word baptism in Matthew 3. It's the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse. It means to submerge. 70 times in the New Testament, we find this word baptism, baptizo, to immerse, to plunge, to dunk, to submerge. In the Bible days, outside of the Bible writings, if a ship was sinking, it would say, it would talk about how it was being baptizoed. If a man was drowning, which is a great topic to talk about when you're trying to motivate people to be baptized, it would talk about him being baptizoed. If you were going to dye a shirt and you wanted all the fibers of the shirt to be dyed, in those Bible days, you would baptizo the shirt in the dye. You can't sink a ship or dye a shirt by sprinkling on it. You know, there is a thing that's real in medical science called cold shock response. It's where if you fall into a lake and it's really, really cold, it can narrow your blood vessels and cause a heart attack. Again, another great motivational topic to get you to be baptized today. But we've got a great heater in the baptistry. You're good. But the article talks about being immersed, going under the water. We know what immersion means. It doesn't mean sprinkle or pour. It means to be dunked. It means to be immersed. And that's what this word means in the Bible, used over 70 times. A matter of fact, there is a Greek word called rantizo, R-A-N-I-T-Z-O, just like the word baptizo. It means to be sprinkled or poured. The Bible didn't use that word. The Bible uses the word baptizo because it means to be immersed. Again, Jesus in his baptism had to know the right way to be baptized. In verse 13, he goes to the Jordan River because there is a lot of water. Look at the verse we just read. In verse 16, he came up out of the water. What has to happen before you come up out of the water? You've got to go down into the water. Jesus was baptized not by being sprinkled by water from the Jordan River. He was baptized by being immersed in the water from the Jordan River. He was in the water, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was baptized in Acts chapter 8. In verse 38, the Bible says he went down into the water. It says in verse 39, he came up out of the water. 70 times the word baptizo, immersion. Submerge, dunk, it means what it means. The Bible says in John 3:32 that John the Baptist, his name is Baptist, he should understand. John the Baptist went, and it says this, where there was plenty, he was baptizing where there was plenty of water. Why did he need plenty of water? Because of immersion. Here's the key. Your baptism may be emotional and meaningful for you, and I appreciate that. I really do. Your past baptism may be emotional and meaningful to you, but here's the question. Was it biblical? Was it what the Bible said? Here is biblical baptism. Number one, we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then after we come to Jesus as our Savior, we are baptized. If we were immersed and then came to Jesus as our Savior, we've never really been baptized. We just got wet. We come to Jesus as Savior. After he is Savior, we are baptized. If after he became our Savior, we were poured or sprinkled, that's not biblical baptism. It's immersion. After we come to Jesus as Savior, we are to be baptized by immersion. Let me put it on the screen just so we're all on the same page. This is biblical baptism. Be saved by Jesus, and after salvation by Jesus, be immersed. If we were sprinkled or poured, we need to be immersed. So, come to Christ as Savior. After that time, we are baptized by immersion. If that's happened to you, that is biblical baptism. If there's any other way, method, mode, in great love for you, you have not been biblically baptized. If that makes sense, say amen. I love how Kevin Ezell told the story from First Baptist Church, Daytona, Florida. They had a baptistry like ours, except no wood. The glass went all the way down to the floor. It was beautiful. You could see the people's feet standing in it. You could see the entire person going under the water and coming out of the water when they were baptized. Pastor Bobby Welch, in those days at Daytona, he baptized a guy who had not been in the church very long at all. Just a really, new believer, didn't understand a lot about Christianity. That's what's so exciting. Brand new follower of Christ. He baptized him. Everyone clapped. The guy pumped his fist. He started to walk out of the water. While he's walking out of the water, Pastor Bobby has another man coming into the water. This new guy realizes, oh, man, I'm going out on the women's side. He kind of panicked. So imagine you're in the congregation and here's this full window. You can see everything. Here is Pastor Bobby Welch with his hand in the air. Here's this guy getting ready to be baptized. And here goes a guy swimming right behind him all the way back, all the way up the stairs. Hey, he was immersed. We want you immersed. We just say no swimming, please. That's the only thing we ask. So the people of baptism are believers. The method of baptism is by immersion. After we come to Christ as Savior, we are immersed. The reason for baptism is our witness. This is our final thing. The reason for baptism is our witness. Your baptism, when you obey God, will please the Lord and bring Him glory and honor. Your baptism will be a blessing to you. You'll never forget it as you identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the absolute least understood thing about baptism in the American church is this. Ultimately, baptism is not for you. It's for the people watching you. It's a witness. Like we said about the Lord's Supper, how we have the cup and the bread, His body and His blood, and we take it inside of us. We're proclaiming the gospel to everyone. The main purpose of baptism is witnessing. The world knows that, and sometimes in America we forget that. Baptism is a picture of the gospel that will bless and build up others. It's an unashamed way we publicly show and share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized publicly. Others saw it. We're baptized publicly as an unashamed witness to others. Here is the visual message, the visual sermon, the visual symbolism of baptism. When you stand in the water, it's a picture of Jesus on the cross. When you go under the water, you're identifying with the fact that Jesus died on the cross and He was buried. So what do you think it means when you come up out of the water? It's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. It's cross, death, resurrection, and you are identifying with that in your life that that is what happened. Do you see now why sprinkling and pouring doesn't work? Why immersion is so important? Sprinkling and pouring does not paint a picture of the gospel. I'm not trying to be cute here. Jesus was not sprinkled with dirt. He was buried and He arose from the grave. To share a visual message with no words, for it to be accurate, you've got to show cross, burial, death, resurrection, and only immersion shows that. Baptism shares that Jesus is the Savior and He's alive. It shares that I'm saved and I have new life. It shares that I'm not ashamed to tell anyone about it either. Visual storytelling impacts us all. It's amazing. 65% of people are visual learners. MIT said our brain can process an image in 13 milliseconds. The Media Corporation said humans process visual elements 60,000 times faster than reading words. Baptism symbolically, visually communicates the greatest story ever of the death, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are identifying with that. What's beautiful about baptism is you don't need words. You don't. It breaks every language barrier. It's a picture of a witness, an unashamed public witness that Jesus was on the cross. He died. He arose. And I am identifying with Him as my Savior. And I want you to know it. I was baptized December 13th of 1981. And I would go back in that baptistry every single Sunday. I don't need to do it. But I will go back in that baptistry every single Sunday just to let people know that I'm not ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is my Savior. But around the world, baptism as a witness, they know it means much more. Some parts of the world, if you are a follower of Jesus and you're baptized, it can literally cost you your life. I had a pastor friend of mine email me a photo from a part of the world where it is against the law, anti-conversion laws from Islam to become a believer. And he emailed me a photo. If it's a pastor and a woman in this photo, if they were caught baptizing her in a river, if they were to be caught, it could be prison. It could be death, could be all sorts of things. But if you could see the smile on their faces. Christianity Today had an article, a testimony from the persecuted church from 2019, Nick Ripken. He's talking about people being baptized in Muslim nations and the persecution they face. Let me just read it real quickly. Within Islamic settings, Muslims equate baptism with salvation. Seekers from Islam investigating a relationship with Jesus Christ can explain away all their activities. If they're discovered reading a Bible, they can claim they're just studying it to debate other Christians. If they are seen sneaking into a church building, they can excuse it the same way, that they're just studying Christians. If they're talking to a pastor or a Western Christian, they can explain it away by saying that they were just witnessing and sharing Islam with these people, but they cannot explain away baptism. There's no excuse. Muslims believe that at baptism, a person no longer belongs to Islam, but to Christianity. They have left one community to join another. The local community says that when converts are baptized, they have left Muhammad and joined Jesus. At baptism, persecution soars because the identification with Jesus is real and forever. Baptism in the Muslim world by Christians is the point of no return. Later in the article from Iran, a pastor was killed because he was baptizing and preaching Jesus. The church was told, quote, by one of the leaders, "Your pastor is dead. The man who loved you enough to tell you about Jesus, giving you the opportunity for eternal life, has been killed because of his faith. That's the cost of following Jesus." This leader continued to this Christian congregation in Iran. He says, I want you to know, these are new believers. Are you ready to be baptized? Now that you have witnessed the cost of following Jesus, are you ready to be buried with him in baptism and raised to new life in Christ? Those new believers in Iran lined up and down the aisle of the church awaiting baptism. They were told, "Your pastor has been killed. Now you know the cost. Are you ready to follow Jesus through baptism and beyond?" Not one single Christian got out of line. Everyone was baptized. Folks, we are so blessed in this country with our freedoms. So blessed. If you get baptized today or in the coming weeks, you don't have to worry about your spouse being raped. You don't have to worry about being murdered. You don't have to worry about losing your job and all your possessions. No one is going to throw you in prison. And could it be that because baptism is so easy for us, it's kind of lost the power that it has in the rest of the world of identifying with Christ? You know what it's going to cost you in America? Your hair is going to get wet in warm water and you're going to have a fuzzy towel waiting on you. There is a spiritual battle going on in hearts in this room and those joining us online. Satan does everything in the world to keep you a dry Christian. Because he knows the Bible's way of identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus is not walking in a church building. It's not standing up in front of a congregation. It is getting in the waters of baptism where there's no return. And he'll do everything he can do to keep you from making a commitment today. And I ask you, who is going to win? Satan or the Son of God? And here we are a few days from the election and oh, it's over and over how we hear believers saying, The church must stand. The church must stand on the word of God. There's never been an hour more important where the church must take a stand. And what has always bugged me is Christians who say the church should take a stand in our country without compromise on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they themselves have never stood in the baptistry. Not today. This is an unashamed, just do it, no excuses, for the rest of my life, I'm going to nail it down and nail it down for good. Janice Grindstaff, a story on Fox News from December of last year. He's in his 80s. He lives in South Carolina. He was dying of cancer on hospice, had days to live. Janice knows Jesus, loves Jesus. I mean, he's been a believer for a lot of years. He reads his Bible every day. But the one thing in his life he had never done, he had not been baptized. He says he's not sure why. He just honestly never got around to it. In his final days, knowing that he was soon going to be in the presence of his Lord, he didn't want to stand before him knowing he had not obeyed him in the area of baptism. He wanted to be immersed. Took a lot of effort and planning, but the hospice nurses and a chaplain found a 60-gallon medical tub. And in front of family and friends who were shouting amens and hallelujah and applauded, several days before his death, he was baptized. Janice said the following, "I wanted to show what I believed more than anything else. If it could inspire one other person to be baptized, that would be great." The name of the article said, "Baptism, His Dying Wish." Today, don't make baptism your dying wish. Make it your living witness in this unashamed, just do it. This is the moment of truth. Are you going to walk out of here following the pudding? Or are you going to say, "Jesus, yes"? Right now, unashamed. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to make a commitment to do this. I'm going to follow the command of Jesus, the example of Jesus. I want that blessing and joy of obedience right now. I'm going to commit my heart before the Lord that I will do it. Let's pray.